Hey, it's Stephanie, and this is Kids These Days, a podcast brought to you by grant funding from the Kansas Department for Children and Families. Hey, y'all. It's Haney. I'm here for another episode. Woo! Today I want to talk about something difficult. That is, difficult conversations. You know, those combos that need to be had, but you know they're going to be a sensitive subject and touch on a lot of emotions. Sometimes we try and avoid them, or sometimes we just want to jump right in and get it over with. But however we do it, we have to know how to navigate those conversations in a way that the conversation, can not only be productive, but protective of everybody's thoughts and feelings before, during, and after the conversation. So let's jump from the start. First, we have to understand what makes a hard conversation so difficult. Why is it challenging to talk about a certain subject, and why do we feel the need to address it? What about the topic makes it challenging? Recently, my fantastic team and I went through a wonderful, albeit intensive, training called Programs for Infant Toddler Care, PITC, or PITC. If you're Sarah's husband, it's Pitsy. While we went through tons of resources and materials, concepts and information, one that stood out to me when working with families is the concept of protective urges. I like to think about protective urges as kind of like a mama bear or papa bear type scenario. That mama bear is known for being ferocious when it comes to protecting her young, right? If she feels even the slightest hint of trouble, she's on the move, making her enemies quiver in fear. She's doing everything she can to protect her young because they're vulnerable. Well, the concept of protective urges is just like that. We have this primitive, innate desire and drive to protect our young. We feel this whole gamut of emotions, from fear to rage to confusion to frustration, when we get the inkling that something's not quite right. These protective urges are what help us to keep our species alive and happy for the most part. They're biologically based and shaped by our culture. We all have protective urges over our loved ones, and I think this can help us to understand those hard conversations. Because when we have something to talk about with a family, they might react. They might get angry or upset. But that's okay, because that's protective urges coming through. That's them taking the mama bear mentality and responding in the only way they know how in the moment, based on their culture and their biology. Sometimes they can't help it. And the same goes for us. When we have something to address, we have our own feelings too. We all want what's best for the child, and we all have that innate desire to protect. And that can bring about tons of different feelings. So the key is, it's in how we react to those feelings that's the true component to having either a productive conversation or an unsuccessful one. How we present the conversation can make or break the family's emotional reaction to their protective urges, just as much as how we receive the family's reactions that can make or break our own protective urges. Think on that a little bit. So, what can come about with these protective urges is conflict. We all want what's best for the child, and when one group or another feels like the child isn't being protected well enough, we have conflict. Conflict, that's okay. But we have to handle it. And how do we handle that? Two different concepts, right? Two ways to see it. First is four steps to being able to handle those protective urges, maybe for you or for somebody else, right? Step one, looking at our own feelings. Why do we feel the way we do about the topic? And until we know what we're feeling, we can't know how it's affecting our actions and possibly how it's affecting our reactions. See what I did there? Step two, we need to bounce those feelings off of others. See if your feeling is warranted, or maybe there's some bias, or maybe you need a different perspective. Maybe the intensity of the feeling isn't aligned with the situation. By talking it through with a partner, colleague, boss, trusted loved one, whomever, you can open it up to potentially gain different perspectives on the situation that you might not have been able to see on your own. Step three is to try and understand that other person's point of view. That's one I personally have a hard time with. But there's a phenomenal book, I don't know if you've ever read it, but a phenomenal book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It's written by Stephen Covey, I think Dr. Stephen Covey. And that's actually one of the 7, habit 5 to be exact, right? He states, seek first to understand, then to be understood. We can't go into the conversation ready to solve all the world's problems. We might not even know what the actual problem is. So first we have to take a step back and look to understand. Only then can you move on to step 4, which is developing an action plan. This might involve including addressing your own issues, or including the other party, or pulling in outside help when it's needed. Whatever that looks like, you have to go through the first 3 steps before you're ready for 4. You can't solve the problem without understanding the problem that needs to be solved first. So next, how do we understand the problem? Well, we use active listening. Active listening is all about how we make a conscious decision to hear, understand, and retain the information that's being relayed to you. It means that as a listener, you're absorbing the information and you're engaged in the content. Here's a quote that might help. I love this one. It says, "We were given 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. To listen twice as much as we talk." To listen twice as much as we talk. We're an active listener by getting rid of distractions, giving full attention to the speaker, refraining from interrupting, and holding onto our own thoughts and feelings until their point is fully made. We use open body language like facing the speaker, making eye contact, reflecting expressions of the speaker, nodding when appropriate. You can't see me, but I'm nodding right now. Nod along with me. You won't look crazy, I swear. We can use what's called door openers to keep the speaker engaged in sharing. I've noticed that, or please tell me more about, or what do you think about? Door openers are great ways to get the speaker to continue sharing and likely perhaps reveal more information that you need to know. And you'll notice in those concepts of active listening that I never said, jump in and tell them how to fix the problem, or I know what's going on. Because that's not active listening. The active listening gives full attention to the speaker and allows them the time and the space to truly share what they need to communicate. Another cool technique that I learned from PITC is the concept of acknowledge, ask, and adapt. AAA, if you will. This is a handle for ways we can be supportive of families, especially when those protective urges come about. We acknowledge by communicating awareness of the concern or problem. I understand that you're concerned that Johnny isn't playing with his peers. We want to convey that we sincerely are interested in the issue and want to involve the family in helping to seek some solutions. Then, once we acknowledge, we can ask. Acknowledge, ask, adapt. In asking, we gather data to help clarify the other point of view while paying attention to those verbal and nonverbal cues. May I ask, why do you feel it's important that he plays with others? And what would you like to see happen? What's your goal? Then, after acknowledging and asking, we adapt. This is a big one that I think a lot of us struggle with. When adapting, we have to make efforts to change, even just a little. No request should be too big or too small to be able to give some kind of adaptation. Oh, well, our center policy says we can't do that, so I'm sorry I'm unable to, right? No, we have to adapt. We can adapt. We can find ways. You didn't hear me say, though, that what you know about best practice and your operating procedures just go out the window. I just said adapt. That could be big or little, but either way, it shows to the family that you are truly actively listening and willing to support them through this time to figure it out together. It might take some effort, but it's important to find common areas of agreement and positively negotiate around those important issues. This is where we can seek and find some solutions that work for both parties. We can negotiate. Perhaps with Johnny, they just want him to have more opportunities for engagement. Or maybe you set up more team building in your classroom. Or maybe they're looking for ways to engage him outside of school life and they're looking for some friends for him. There are so many solutions to issues that come about with protective urges. I'm sure you'll find a way to acknowledge, ask, and adapt. So we have these hard conversations. We know that they come from protective urges, and we know that we can navigate them through the four steps of handling those protective urges, active listening, and the acknowledge, ask, and adapt model. But why does that even matter? Why are having hard conversations so dang hard? Well, the answer is simple, but not simple, right? Hard conversations are hard because they matter. They are so, so important for that child's village. And when multiple adults come together in the village that all want what's best for the kiddo, it's perfectly normal to have some conflict, to have some opposing viewpoints. But we can get a lot out of those hard conversations. They help us to build relationships. They help us to develop trust with others and have increased opportunities for communication and, ultimately, gives us what everyone wants, what's best for the child, the family, and you. So now you have the tools in the toolbox to have those hard conversations. My challenge to you today is to go out and have them. Use the techniques you learn to be able to take part in those challenging conversations. All for the betterment of yourself, the child, and the family. And until next time, I wish you well. Kids These Days is a co-production of the Casito Kids Infant Toddler Specialist Network and Casito Workforce Development Programs. These programs are supported through a grant from the Kansas Department for Children and Families Child Care and Early Education Services. However, information or opinions expressed herein do not necessarily reflect the position or policy of the agency, and no official endorsement should be inferred. If you have questions, comments, suggestions, or want to share your practice related to this or a previous episode, please email us at kidsthesedayspod@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at @kidsthesedayspod. Be sure to check out the resources for this episode in the show notes. And don't forget to rate, review, and hit subscribe. This episode was written, recorded, and edited by Stephanie Haney, and music track Hackbeat by Kevin McLeod.